A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Well, we have this great feast of Pentecost, but the gospel reading today is actually from the evening of Easter Sunday. And that's where it takes place. They're locked in the upper room. The apostles barricaded themselves in there because they were afraid that the Jews would come for them next. Right? They had just lived through this trauma of the arrest and the scourging and crowning with thorns and the crucifixion of Jesus on Friday and having him buried in the tomb. And then there were reports that morning the women found the tomb empty. And then there were some reports, scattered reports, that he had appeared to some of the disciples on Easter Sunday morning, but they were still terrified and traumatized by the whole thing. And so you can understand why they locked themselves in the upper room, hiding out. And then Jesus appears there. Oh, I guess his resurrected body, he had the ability to move right through locked doors and walls. And yet, he shows them his hands and his feet and says, "It's truly I." And then in the other gospel, it relates how he asked them for food and they gave him some fish and he ate it in front of them. So he wasn't just a ghost or a figment of their imagination. He was real and he had his body. But obviously he was different as well. And then he says, "Peace be with you." From all that trauma and all that worry, all that anxiety, which is totally understandable, and then the guilt as well that they'd all run away in fear and they hadn't stood with Jesus in the moment when he was most vulnerable. He says, "Peace be with you." And he brings that forgiveness and that peace to them. And he gives them, here in the gospel, one very specific responsibility. Whose sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whose sins you retain will be retained. And the church has always seen this as Jesus establishing the sacrament of confession. And those are the first priests, or bishops, as it were. And a big part of this ministry that they'll have going forward will be the reconciliation of people to God. People who, like they, had sinned very badly by betraying Jesus. And they're supposed to bring that peace and reconciliation to the world. And this is where we look as Catholics to one of the justifications for sacramental confession. Jesus establishing that sacrament for us all to be reconciled with God. Admission of peace and bringing peace to souls that are racked by their conscience. Oh, and it's the Holy Spirit who brings us that light that shines in our conscience to speak the truth to us, even when it's hard for us to accept. So we don't rationalize and we don't justify ourselves, but we humbly, meekly face the truth about ourselves. And ask for that reconciliation and that peace that the sacrament brings. But if we really want to talk about Pentecost, that first reading is what describes to us exactly what happened. You remember now, after the ascension, the apostles went back with Mary and some of the women to the upper room again, but they weren't in fear now. Now they were praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But let's face it, they didn't really know much about the Holy Spirit at this point, right? They had heard Jesus talk about him, but they hadn't had a personal experience of the Holy Spirit. The only one among them who did was Mary. And so my hunch is that Mary instructed them in those days as to the power of the Holy Spirit that was about to come upon them. Because she, 33 years before, had experienced that power, and she knew what she was talking about. Because the Holy Spirit changed her life and brought Christ to her. And so they're there in the upper room when suddenly they hear the wind blowing outside, and suddenly something like flames of fire descended upon them and filled the whole house. And then suddenly they're no longer afraid, and they go out and they begin to preach. And they preach without any fear, and then odd things happen. That everyone, and they gave the list of all the countries they were from, can understand them in their own language. They're Parthians, Medes, Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, districts of Libya near Cyrene, and travelers from Rome, Jews, converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs, pretty much the whole world was there and heard them speaking in their own languages. Well, if that's all it was, it'd be kind of a neat miracle, good trick on the part of God. He had like a universal translator, boom, right? This was like multiple language translation, Google Translate. But it has a meaning, I think, that's deeper than that too. And that's touched on in the second reading. It means that everybody, no matter what country you're from, you're called to worship the same God. That everyone's called to be a Christian, regardless of where you're from. And this was a big shocker, probably, for the people of Jesus' time, and especially the Jews, who felt that they had the one true God, and everybody else had their own gods. And as far as the Jews were concerned, live and let live. We don't care what the Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and people from Libya, we don't care. They say they got their own local gods, but they're all pagans. We don't care, right? But now, the gospel that they're preaching is understood by everyone. And as it says in that second reading, St. Paul, he's writing to the Corinthians, in one spirit we were all baptized into the one body, the body of the church. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, we were all given to drink of that one spirit. And so this is something that's even a challenge for us to believe today. Back in the ancient times, they said, yeah, each country's got its own gods. Right? The Romans had their mythological figures, the Greeks. No, everybody in their own countries had their own gods that they had created or invented. And they believed in them. But now with the coming of Jesus, and now with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God's getting it across to us that no, He wants the entire face of the earth to be transformed by that gospel of Jesus Christ. That everyone, literally everyone, is called to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's for us, tough for us these days too. Even though we don't believe in all these little national gods, no, we think that's silly. But we think, you know, oh well, the Muslims, they've got their way, and the Hindus have their way, and the Buddhists have their way, the Jews have their way, and they're all nice. No. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way. There's no salvation except in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Does that mean everybody else is going to hell? No. But it means that everybody who's saved is saved by some connection to Jesus Christ. That it was through the blood of Jesus on the cross that the entire human race, from beginning to end, is saved. And that Spirit pushes those apostles out to bring the gospel to each place. And if you like, translate that gospel into a language that each person will understand, just like on the first Pentecost day, to make it intelligible to the different people. Not to change it, not to adapt it, but to make it understandable to people of our age and the days in the future when cultures will be very different from now, when people have differences between them very more than now. But we're all called, as St. Paul says, and we're baptized into that one body. Jews, Greeks, slaves, free persons, we're all given to drink of the one Spirit. And that Spirit unites us all and focuses all of us on Jesus Christ, the one Savior of the human race. If we had continued reading in the Acts of the Apostles past this line, verse 11, verse 37 in that same second chapter starts to talk about those early Christians and how they were bringing in people who nobody ever thought would be believers in Jesus. Their message, it's saying Peter begins to make a long preaching there, and his message is repent and be baptized. Because they all say to him, well, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So there's those two steps. The change of life, that conversion, and the baptism, where we receive the Holy Spirit. That was key for St. Peter. It wasn't a live and let live. It was, no, there's an urgency to convert, to renounce your sin, and to accept the gospel. And then it describes that early church. It said they all reunited in the teaching of the apostles. The apostles were the ones who had been with Jesus for those 3 years, and they were the witnesses of the resurrection. Everyone was united in the teaching of the apostles, in the fellowship or in charity, mutual charity, in the breaking of the bread, which was their word for the Mass, where they celebrated the body and blood of Christ, and in the prayers. These are the things that brought the early church together. And this Pentecost Spirit sends them out to the world with a sense of urgency. People are being lost. No, unless we preach the gospel. Unless we bring the gospel to every person. Last night we had 15 confirmations at the Pentecost Vigil of the Spanish-speaking community. And I told them all, those 15 that received confirmation, next year you all have to come back as sponsors and bring in one person that you know is out there who hasn't received the sacraments. Bring back one person who's away from God. Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And we see it here all the time. If we open our eyes and we let ourselves see it. Every week here we're hearing 90 to 100 confessions. Last week we had 49 kids receive confirmation and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The 15 last night and 12 at the Easter Vigil several weeks ago. Yesterday we had 8 new baptisms of little kids. We have 70 more people now in the second round of the rescue project. It's pretty awesome. And Gianna's house has got 53 babies saved so far. Praise God. This is all the power of the Holy Spirit working right here. And He wants to work through each one of us and make us missionary disciples to go out and find that one person that we can bring back to God. That's what the Spirit does to the apostles on Pentecost. And that's what the Spirit has to do with us. But we have to say yes. The way Mary said yes. Let it be done to me according to thy word. There's somebody out there that God wants you to bring back. And He's given you the grace to do it. And maybe only you can bring that person back. Praise be Jesus Christ, both now and forever.